Hello, good morning, how you doing? Waking up, waking
get up with,
ladies and gentlemen,
Josiah and Ellie.
It goes like this.
Hey, if you're just tuning in for the first time this week, Ellie is away on holidays, so I am riding solo. Hey, had a massive show, so I want to get straight into the catch-up today so you can hear what happened. Had the lady, it was an exclusive here on the show. She's one of the first in Victoria and Australia to access assisted dying. She's terminally ill. She's 60 years old, and she joined us and shared her story. It's incredibly powerful. So make sure you stay tuned and listen out for that one. Also, Ellie's replacement. We're trying to look for one anyway. So I get local co-host. His name's Jeremy to join the show. Now, Jeremy brings a strong opinion, and it fired the phones up. So listen out for that. Also, I am tackling Shep's homeless crisis as well. Today, lucky enough to have a man of the name of Richie share his story with us. If you are downloading this catch-up, you can actually hear it in full as well, the same place you downloaded this, so make sure you do that as well. It was a really powerful and awesome chat. Boss Benny joins me as well, and Lewis Capaldi, the singer, the Scottish superstar. Like I said, I didn't lie to you, huge show. So without further ado, let's get into it.
Are we ready?
The catch-up
with
Josiah and Ellie.
Hey, last Wednesday, Victorians were the first in Australia to have access to assisted dying. One local lady who is terminally ill, and she's one of the first to use this service, has been kind enough to give us some of her precious time. So I want to welcome to the show Margaret. Margaret, thank you so, so much. Do you mind sharing with me and the Goulburn Valley your story?
So 5 years ago, I had bowel cancer. I had chemotherapy and radiation. 12 months after that, I was told all clear following a CAT scan and just review every 6 to 12 months with an examination. Last May, I was in hospital, Epworth, Richmond, having a minor procedure, and I suddenly turned yellow overnight, and subsequent tests revealed that I'd had cancer spread from the initial cancer all through my liver and my lymph nodes. And they told me I had 18 to 24 months to live if I had chemotherapy, which would just be palliative chemotherapy, just extending my life and controlling pain. Without chemotherapy, I would likely only have 3 to 4 months to live.
And then in March this year, was it when you chose to stop the chemotherapy?
That's right. I'd been very unlucky, and even, you know, my doctors, you know, would shake their heads, you know, every side effect, you know, it happened. I had septicemia, blood transfusions, you know, everybody gets, you know, some degree of sickness with chemotherapy, but mine, you know, seemed to be, you know, the worst. End of the scale for symptoms. So it dramatically affected my life for the 9 months that I did have chemo, and it didn't do much good. I mean, it kept the tumours at bay, but it was never going to cure me. It was purely palliative.
My heart breaks, Margaret. You're 60 years old. You've mm-hmm. been a nurse for 40 years. So your whole life you've watched other people suffer. The fact you've decided to access assisted dying, sorry, I find it hard to say. Was it a hard choice, or after seeing that suffering over all those years and now suffering yourself, was it a no-brainer?
Well, absolutely a no-brainer, but the concept of any form of euthanasia is not something new for me to think about, because I grew up in a family of nurses. Both my parents were nurses, and they were actually members of the Voluntary Euthanasia Society. And, you know, as you said, you know, I've seen, you know, many bad deaths. You know, we do our very best, and palliative care teams do their very best, but, you know, sometimes, you know, you're just not able to achieve a good death, you know, with good pain control. And having seen that, you know, all my life, I was, you know, naturally hoping I would never be in this situation. And I have accepted the fact that, you know, I'm not going to have a long life, but, you know, I've probably only got months at best to live. I can have some degree of comfort in the knowledge that if it gets too bad, and if is the big word, because you don't know how it's going to end up, you know, I've got an option, and I want to protect my family as much as I, you know, people say I'm brave. I'm actually a coward, because, you know, the thought of, you know, having a bad death, it just absolutely terrifies me. And having an option now whereby if it just gets too bad, I can take, you know, the end in my own hands. You know, that's just so important to me.
I just want to ask, once you've applied for assisted dying, is there a time limit of when you have to go through with the procedure? Or once approved, can you just go and make that decision yourself?
That's correct, yes. There's no time limit. And, you know, that's the whole point. I might not need it. I might have, you know, the good fortune to have a, you know, comfortable death and, you know, well controlled by my palliative care nurses and doctors. So I might not ever need it, but my daughter will have to sign a declaration that if I die without using the medicine that she returns it. But they won't be ringing me up in 6 months, you know, saying, you know, have you used it yet?
Of course.
And, you know, don't go giving it away. So there's a lot of safeguards. You know, I know I'm, you know, making light of it, but I'm getting used to talking about it.
Sometimes you have to. It helps with the process, doesn't it, Margaret? Can I ask, you just mentioned your daughter. How's your friends and family reacted to the news of you choosing to want to apply for assisted dying?
Everybody is very supportive. I've got, you know, naturally there's some friends and a couple of members of my family that don't really want to talk about it because nobody wants to really, you know, talk about, you know, the fact that I'm going and, you know, nobody plans this and certainly, you know, my children didn't imagine that they'd be losing mum. So they don't really like talking about it, but they're fully accepting of it and they know me. I mean, I'm a control freak, you know, and and nobody is surprised. Even my oncologist, you know, said to me, well, I'm not surprised you're taking, you know, this stand.
Of course.
And it's just, you know, important to me because, you know, even though I'd come to terms with the fact that I was dying, I was still struggling, you know, with this fear of a bad death. And I'm now, you know, I'm quite comfortable knowing I've got this backup solution and, you know, it just means that I can enjoy, you know, the time that I've got.
Obviously, it was quite a controversial bill once it was passed and there are, you know, many religious people or people that don't obviously believe it. But is there something you need to say to those people to get their heads in across it? Because you're the one suffering. You know what it's like to go through.
Yeah, I don't have anything really to say to them because I just don't think they understand. I really don't think they understand, and I you know wonder if they've ever experienced anybody close to them suffering. I can't imagine, you know, any God, you know, thinking that it's more desirable to have a humiliating, horrifying death as opposed to a comfortable, you know, calm death. I just don't understand. I just really feel that it's important that people are talking about it because I worry that there are people, as we speak, suffering that either don't know about this as an option or they're not brave enough to speak to their family about it as an option because they know that their family are going to say, don't be silly, don't talk like that, there's going to be a cure, you're going to make it, you know, and I have friends that still believe, you know, there's likely something around the corner and I'll be cured. And that's fine, you know, I can't stop them from believing that, but I have to be realistic and I have to be ready for my fate.
Well, that's my next question, Margaret. Do you believe in miracles?
No. I used to believe in karma, and when this happened to me, I thought, I just can't imagine what I had done wrong in this life or a past life to deserve this. So, yeah, I don't believe in karma anymore.
Now, Margaret, it really means a lot that you've joined the show. It's a touching story. For anyone else that's listening, make sure you get in touch with us and the show or make sure you do your research into this because it's such an important topic by all Victorians, especially to be across. Margaret, all the best for the future. I honestly do pray for a miracle for you. Sorry, it's really hard to talk about. All the best for the future to you and your friends and family and really appreciate you sharing your story. It means a lot.
Okay, thank you.
This is The Catch-Up with Josiah and Ellie.
Well, this man's a Scottish superstar and his latest single, Someone You Loved, is out now. Lewis Capaldi, you beautiful man. Welcome to the show.
How you doing, man?
Doing all right. No, I reckon you'd be a bit better. Have you just come off stage with The Killers in Belfast?
It's true. I've just come off and I had a handful of salted pork on and I'm drinking alcohol. So things are well. I won't lie to you.
I wish I was with you, mate. I'd be you know what? Two of my favourite things in the world is Lewis Capaldi, alcohol, and popcorn. That's three, isn't it?
That's it, and not the killers, apparently. You left them out there.
Should throw the killers in there as well. Mate, so you are in Belfast. Australia, though, talk to me. Have you been here before?
I have, yes. I came last year for Splendor in the Grass, and we,
Dean Lewis. That name, how have you got a story about that guy for me? Because he's a very good friend of mine, mate, and I just sent him a text saying I've got Lewis coming on the show, give me a story, and he just wrote, bro, I bailed on a club because they wouldn't let me in, I got an Uber home, then he ran outside trying to find me. Can you confirm or deny Dean Lewis's story?
That's true. I'm one of those guys who doesn't know when to let the night in and when to let his friends go home. So I was when I heard Dean wasn't coming in, because he was getting knocked back, I was going to do everything in my power to get him into that, club and let him have a good time. But it wasn't to be. But I'm sure he would do the same thing for me.
He would when you're in Australia, mate. Then he will absolutely do the same for you. Can I ask? My roommate is a diehard Lewis Capaldi fan, and I said to her last night, I'm interviewing her. I was like, is there any questions you want to ask? You know, when you got your favorite celebrity on the line, any question in the world. She said, no, I don't have a question. I just want to let him know that, can you just tell him that I want to suck his toes when he gets here? Is that a bit weird?
Especially because I've got a thing about, more so because I don't really like feet. So the idea of someone sucking on a toe really, really makes me feel uncomfortable. I don't want to know. And she can maybe suck on my elbow. Maybe that'd be more. If we let's compromise on an elbow, and we'll leave it at that. But I mean, it sounds like a compliment to me at the very least. So
no,
I appreciate it.
Definitely take it as a compliment. The back of your elbow, you know, that's called your weenus, though. You know that, don't you?
The elbow's called the weenus.
Yeah, the back of your elbow, that weird skin bit, that's called your weenus. That's a that's a technical term, Lewis.
Nice one. Put my weenus in her mouth.
Yeah. Hey, is it funny that your videos on Facebook and YouTube and all that sort of stuff, they go viral? Has it contributed in any way to your music, have you felt?
I find a lot of people, especially like in the UK, will sometimes come up to me and be like, I didn't even realise you were a singer. I didn't even realise you were a singer for so long. I thought you were just like some guy on the internet that makes an ass of himself. And I say, no, I am a guy that makes an ass of himself. But first and foremost, I am a musician. so it's a weird one. But I think it's quite cool. I quite like how people kind of get buy into like the both sides of it. I think it's quite a nice thing.
Yeah, and I think that's what I love about you as well, mate, is it's such a contrast. Your humour is so on point with mine. You've got that, you know, hilarious side to you, but then your music is so beautiful at the same time. Like, Someone You Loved is an unbelievable song. Do you ever find it hard to, balance of that contrast?
Nah, because I think you've got to be like, you've got to have a laugh with it. Do you know what I mean? I think, for me, I've always said, the music needs to be serious. Like, I love doing music, and that's my job, and I want to do that, and that's, like, for me, that's the thing I take seriously. But see, everything else can be a total laugh. Like, you don't need to take an interview, like, too seriously, because it should be fun. Like, everything, this is all supposed to be fun, you know what I mean? For me, getting to chat to people like yourselves is like, fun, is, like, an exciting thing. So, I don't want to be sitting talking about, the
the ins
and outs of, like, do you know what I mean? If I came on and went, oh, do you know that Someone You Love's about a girl who broke my heart and she meant the world to me, but she realised that it was horrible. Like, do you know what I mean? You'd be boring. It's so boring. So, like, for me, I just like to have a laugh at things and not take things too seriously. And it's the way I've always been. So, and the thing is, well, people always say to me, like, oh, you're quite self-deprecating. And do you think that's, like, a way to keep yourself emotionally guarded? And I'm like, what? You're thinking too much into that. You know what I mean? It's so ridiculous. But,
absolutely.
It's like having a laugh, man.
If that's the case, then I'm definitely emotionally guarded as well, mate. So, no, you're right. Having a chat like this, chatting about weenuses on the radio, I think that's more of a fun interview for yourself than having a talk about having your heart broken a few times, reliving those memories, Lewis.
Yeah, man.
Lewis Capaldi, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. Your new single, Someone You Loved, is out now. We're loving it so much on Hit. So thank you so much for your time, mate, and we hope to see you in Australia very soon.
Thanks, man. Thank you, mate. I'll be down at the end of the year. So, yeah, hope to see you then.
Bang. End of the year it is. Lewis Capaldi. Can't wait, mate. Thanks again.
Come on, man. See you back.
Are we ready?
The Catch Up with Josiah and Ellie.
Ellie is away, guys, so I am on the hunt for a new co-host. Just before the song then, I did welcome to the show Jeremy Roberts from Shepparton. Good morning, Jeremy.
G'day, Josiah. J and J, the Josiah and Jeremy show.
I like it. It's already...
got a ring to it, hasn't it?
J squared.
Woo!
Do you love it? Is it true? I've just heard one quick rumour I want to clear up before you apply officially for Ellie's job. Is it true that you're the naughtiest guy in the GV? Or?
Look, I'm not giving too much away, Josiah, but I can't deny those rumours. Let's just put it that way.
I'm yet to see for myself, so we'll leave that one on the side, won't we? Now tell me, Jeremy, why do you think you'd be better as a co-host for me than Ellie?
Well, look, Josiah, Macca's for breakfast. I've heard that you love a bit of Macca's, so I thought that might sweeten you up to start with. But look, I'm pretty passionate about a few things, and I think it's one of them I want to touch on very shortly. But come back, you know, I'm pretty passionate about what I believe in.
Wait, so you're an opinionated person?
Oh, look. Yes.
Well,
some
that's
people
a good thing,
that.
Because some of the best radio is when two opinions clash, or
that's right.
When your opinion fires up the listeners as well.
Absolutely.
So I did ask you earlier to bring in something that grinds your gears. That's a weird choice of words, but let's just roll with it. What grinds your gears around the Golden Valley this Wednesday morning, Jeremy?
Look, Josiah, these parents with pram parking. Look, I get it, but really, parents with pram parking, do they need it right at the front door?
Right. So, okay. You've got disabled parks.
Get that. Absolutely.
So this is the spots that are purely reserved for the parents, right?
Parents with prams.
Can I ask, do they need a sticker to have those?
Well, I don't know because I park in them, so... Oh. I don't know. I don't have a sticker. Do you need one?
I mean, I did ask for it.
I think if you're going to the supermarket, you're choosing to take your children. You know, I choose to not take children.
Hang on.
You know?
So you'd leave your kids at home?
Well, I don't have kids. So I suppose, look, you know, I'm coming from that opinion. So, but yeah, I you're choosing to take your kids there. I think, you know, park further away and teach the kids to walk.
Oh.
You know?
What if the kid is like 6 months old? For example, Boss Benny.
Well, they're in a pram and you push the pram.
That's
you know?
It.
So
but isn't
park
it
further away.
I know a lot of parents that look specifically for those parks so it's close because
yeah,
they got
it's close. You know what? Let's put the parents with pram parking down the back of the car park. I bet you they don't park there, Josiah. It's the front door.
You know what I want to do? Parents, if you're listening, 13, 12, 16, give us a buzz. If you want to give Jeremy your side, give him your thoughts, because I reckon there'd be a couple of upset mums listening because they love parking next to the doors there at Marketplace.
I do too, and hence why I park in the parent with pram parking.
Because they can't be monitored. If I pulled up in a pram spot and didn't get out with the pram, who's monitoring
Correct.
That?
I haven't been caught.
It's not like a sticker, I presume, like they do in the phones are lighting up, mate. Look what you've done. 13, 12, 16 is our number. You know what? The phones have fired up because just before that song, you threw out the opinion that you think that parents with pram car spots are unnecessary.
Correct. Unnecessary.
Well, I don't know why I should be surprised that the phones have lit up. I want to welcome to the show Katrina from Yarrawonga. Katrina, what are your thoughts?
My thoughts are it's not just a convenience thing. They actually make them wider as well to actually have your pram.
Yeah, Katrina, what about my Toyota Camry? I don't want anybody getting close to me either. Can I park in
exactly.
those because I need more space? Maybe we need to make all of the car park spaces bigger then.
Well, do you want the kids to, like, open their car doors and, like, hit your car as
no,
well?
No, that's what I said. Let's put those the Camry, not let anybody near it.
Oh, I'm happy to park down the back if there's extra room for the kids and their pram.
All right, there we go, Josiah. We're going to call Marketplace and ask them to put
Hey,
their...
Katrina, I'm hearing a lot of me coming from Jeremy. Are you hearing that as well?
Yeah, definitely.
Isn't that what parents with pram parking is about, me?
Hey, thanks for
there's
your
actually,
call.
Yeah. There's actually grandparent parking. Like, there's ones with walking sticks
look,
and
Nana.
Not just for disabled as well. So, you know, I think it's great that they're actually having more parking for more
okay,
people.
Okay, well, I'm a 30-odd-year-old gay man. Can I have my own car park as well?
Rainbow?
Yes. Rainbow cut. There we go. I'm pushing for that.
You know what? It's 2019. I don't think that's too far away. Thanks for your call, Katrina. Let's move on now to Marley. She's in Kyle and she's very angry this morning, aren't you, Marley?
Hello. How are you, sir?
I'm good, thank you. You don't want to say hi to Jeremy?
Yeah, hi, Marley.
No, I'm missing Ali, to be honest.
Yeah, me too. I don't think
great
she's...
Great addition to the team.
Oh,
yeah.
Give your thoughts. Why are you against what Jeremy says about parent parking?
First of all, just going back to the comment about choosing to not take your children to the supermarket, I'll just touch quickly on that. being a working mum and having young children and a husband that works shift work, it's not always possible to not take your children to the supermarket. Trust me, any mum will tell you if they get that opportunity, it's like a holiday, they will take it, but it's not always realistic. So, yes, you need to take your kids to the supermarket. A lot of times people with young babies also have a toddler. The issue that I have with things like the marketplace is it's not always safe walking paths to get back to a car that's, for say, down the back.
Especially with kids, isn't that right, Marley?
That's right. Look, I'm getting it. I'm understanding it. But I still, look, I want my own park at the front. So I'm pushing for this rainbow park.
You reckon it could? Marley, are you against?
Look, I think he's dreaming.
You've heard that a few times, haven't you, Jeremy?
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for your calls this morning. You've definitely fired up the phones this morning. So in terms of opinionated, that's very important in radio. So I'll give you a tick for that.
Yep.
What are your plans for the rest of today, can I ask?
Look, I've got to head back to work. I'm a bit disappointed. I'd rather stay here, but I think Ellie might be safe for a little while.
Yeah, I don't think Ellie will come on the radio and ask for a rainbow car spot over a parents with prams car spot. But you know what? You fired up the phone, so I'll give you a big tick there. Hey, thank you for coming in. I'll pass your application for Ellie's job onto our boss, Benny.
Perfect.
So consider it taken.
Benny, Macca's for you too, if you're up for giving me the job.
Hey, thanks very much for coming in, Jeremy.
It's been awesome. Have a great day.
Are we ready?
The Catch Up with Josiah and Ellie.
All this week, I have been touching on the homeless crisis that is happening in Shepparton, and I really want to make a point of raising awareness on it. We do have the highest amount of homeless people in the whole of regional Victoria right here on our doorstep, and it's a disgusting statistic that I want to change. Yesterday, I was kind enough to be joined by Margaret. She lent her time, which was so nice of her. She's Celia, my mind's everywhere this morning. Celia, the CEO of Beyond Housing, and she shared with us some statistics of around the place. Then yesterday, I was very, very lucky enough to sit down with somebody of the name Richie, and I know he's listening now, so a shout out to you, mate. You're an absolutely incredible human. He shared with me his experience with homelessness. He spent 3.5 years living homeless, and this I'll kick it off with the moment where he shared with me his story.
When you're really in need, it's often the case that people desert you when you truly most need them. And that was the most heartbreaking point of my experience, is being alone without enough money to make ends meet, with no home. There was a time, I wouldn't wish this on anyone, there was a time when I didn't know where my next meal was coming from, and I hadn't eaten for a day and a half.
So where do you turn to when that happens?
I refuse to go begging. Okay, I mean, Centrelink, I'll class that as begging, right? But I've paid lots of taxes for many years in this country.
Yeah, of course.
So I needed it back in the end. But I wouldn't go begging. I wouldn't sit on the streets and do that. So what I did was, the time when I'd had no food, I actually went to a soup kitchen. And it was the most heartbreaking experience of my life, because I saw how in need these people were, and I felt like I was stealing their food. Even though I hadn't eaten for a day and a half, I felt like, looking at me, and you know, I felt shame was the thing. I felt shame.
Powerful stuff. He then shared with me the moment that he decided to turn his whole life around. I don't know if you guys remember, surely you would, that day we had towards the end of last year when we had the 48 degree day. It was the record day. I remember complaining with how hot it was. He was sleeping in his car right here in Shepparton at the time. It didn't go below 32 at night. And that's where he kicked off how he turned his life around.
That 32 degrees was the night I said, I need to go to Beyond Housing. All right, I got hardly any sleep. I came in. I expect to get turned away, actually. And Paul sat me down. You know, I probably don't look like the normal sort of character that comes in here. But Paul sat me down. I said, look, this is a situation, mate. I'm desperate. I've got a job starting in 2 weeks. I'm desperate. And he said, you asked me some very, very difficult questions at the start, Paul. Yeah. You asked me some very difficult questions, which I made me feel like you weren't going to help me, actually, at the start. And then you considered what I told you, and you made the decision to help me, which I tell you what, if you hadn't made that decision, I would not be in Shepparton today. As it is, I really enjoy getting to know Shepparton, and it's a place where I want to put down some roots. And that's because, in no small part, because of you and Beyond Housing.
I went into Beyond Housing yesterday where I met up with Richie. And I tell you what, the team down there, what they do, if you're unaware, is unbelievable for our community. So make sure you get around those guys. I did end up sitting with Richie for about 20 minutes. He told me his whole story. He used to be a radio host just like me. So it does prove that it can happen to anyone. No one is immune to this thing. So make sure you do open your minds to this this whole cause. And I'm going to be delving into it some more tomorrow on the show when I get Celia back on.
This is The Catch-Up with Josiah and Ellie.
The Big J, Sharla. Josiah, Sharla, how are you?
Feeling good for a Wednesday morning. It's been a busy show, but we're here. Now that you're here, I have to behave myself.
Well, do you? Well, I'm hoping you're not going to behave yourself today. I'm giving you free rein because... Let's not lie. You're not shy of female attention, are you?
Nah, not at all. I grew up with sisters, cousins. They're all females.
So humble.
My roommate's a girl. I just love women.
Good. That's healthy, mate. That's really good. And this brings us to a brand new segment right now.
We should probably warn that the following may go in any direction.
Can't believe it.
And not always a good one.
Wait, what do you mean?
So strap yourself in and prepare to be underwhelmed. It's Josiah and Benny's Top 5.
What do you think?
I like it. That was good.
Right, so today, talking about the girls that you're not shy of attention, right? I'm thinking to myself, what is it about Mr. Josiah Sharla that girls love? Is it his eyes? Is it the fact you wink at everything from the girls to cars to... Geez, a cat will shut your window and you'd wink at it.
All of the above.
You slide into girls' DMs to say hello. You're quite flirty. What's the key, Jay? Is it pickup lines?
I don't know. I just having confidence, guys. If you're listening and taking notes, I'm a friendly guy. I'm approachable, and I don't look like I'm going to murder somebody.
That's all good things, mate. All great things. Hey, the reason why I'm doing this segment right now, it's top five most amazing pickup lines, because sometimes these lines can get you in with the girl or the guy, depending on.
This is good because I've never been a huge one for a pickup line, Benny. So
I just thought if I throw them at you, then we can break them down.
Well, can I use them?
Yeah.
Oh, all right, my pen and paper are out. Let's go.
All right, scribe for me. All right, the number five, top five most amazing pickup lines. Number five, if you were a transformer, you'd be Optimus Fine.
Kid breakfast with Josiah and Ellie.
Stuff that. That's meant to be a.
Same. Not bad. Unfortunately, though, I feel like you'd have to apply it to more of a nerdy girl, because what if she doesn't know what a transformer is?
Come on, everyone will know transformers. That'll get you in, though. That's like it's bad enough to sort of be like, all right, I get it. What do you do?
If the girl gets the reference, you're 100% in.
All right, number four. You know, I'm not really this tall. I'm just sitting on my wallet. I think that's a good one.
I feel like you're attracting a gold digger, though.
Yeah, no. Well, see, when I first read that, I was like, is that a joke about the old... But it's not. It's about being loaded.
Oh, not number twos.
No. It's about just if you sit on your wallet, it means I'm full of cash.
Right. Which I'm not. Because you don't pay me enough, mate. If you paid me enough, I could use that pickup line.
But I don't have keys to my car. Have you got any ideas?
No.
Mate. Right, number three. Are you a campfire because you're hot and I want s'more? Because you know the American s'mores are like chocolate marshmallow biscuits and you cook them over fire.
Do you know who would love that one?
Who?
Ellie. She would love it.
Is she a sucker for a pickup line, you reckon?
Oh, not just a pickup line, but anything cheesy and anything pun related.
Oh, she loves puns.
I can say some funny lines on this show and she doesn't laugh. And then I say the stupid pun joke, like why not when I'm talking about wine, and she loses it. So she would love that one.
Instead of Friday, it's wine day. Hey! Number two, I wasn't feeling well this morning, so I called the doctor and he said to take more vitamin U. Is that cool or is that cheesy?
It is cheesy. I mean, I've got a couple of doctor mates that might work on. Shout out to them if they're listening this morning.
That's creepy though, isn't it? Like to take a bit of vitamin U.
Yeah, what are you taking? Which part of you?
I don't know. That's gross.
All of it.
Oh, you said that. The number one most amazing pickup line and critiqued by Mr. Josiah Sharla. You must be made of cheese because you're looking Gouda tonight. Sorry,
I'll pay that.
It was so crap I had to just say it because it's so bad.
This is...
Are we ready?
The Catch-Up with Josiah and Ellie.
Hey, right now though, apparently it's come out overnight, a story that has got everyone divided, saying you can't get the influenza from a flu shot. Am I the only one out there who has always thought that when you get the flu jab, it gives you the flu? As in, you don't get or sick every time, but it has parts of the flu that goes inside you. I'm calling it one of life's biggest mysteries. And I know it's not a Thursday, but I thought, why not do this anyway?
Solving life's biggest mysteries.
Oh, no,
with Josiah and Ellie.
Right, so Australia's flu season. You've either suffered from the flu yourself this year or you know someone who has. It's been everywhere. I spoke to Princess Park Clinic last night. They were saying they've had thousands, I think over 2,000 or 3,000 flu shots alone. That's in Shepparton alone. That is a big part of our population. So people are very worried about it. In it itself, I don't know if that's something that I've always thought. Anyway, so what I did is I went down to Princess Park Clinic. Thanks to Jenna and the team for making it in and fitting me in last night because I did get in there late. And Dr. Rachel Adams for giving me some of her time as well. I sat down with Dr. Rachel Adams and asked her, can the flu shot give us a clue? She solved the mystery for us.
No.
Straight up no.
Absolutely not.
So this is correct, this article?
It's absolutely correct.
Can I ask why so many of us have thought over all these years that when you get the flu jab that you get some form or just like a small strain of the flu?
Yeah. So the flu vaccination is like many vaccinations. We actually give you a little bit of the virus, but it's dead. It can't cause any symptoms. All it's doing is stimulating your immune system to produce an immune response so that when you come across the real flu,
people have thought because we're getting it, it is being put in us, but it's dead. But somehow people are forgetting the dead part and just presuming we're getting the flu and someone somehow got sick along the way and then words just spread that's how it became a myth.
Yes, absolutely. And the thing about people getting sick is that it's possible as a side effect of the flu vaccine that you may have a runny nose or a cough, but you haven't actually got the flu. And you've got to remember that in winter, everybody walking around is brewing something anyway, so it may well be you were going to get a cold anyway.
Dr. Rachel Adams, did we just solve one of life's mysteries, biggest mysteries together?
Well, it wasn't a mystery to me, but hopefully it helps other people.
Yes. Yeah, I hope it wasn't a mystery to any doctors. Put it that way.
Bang. And you guys say that this show isn't educational. My goodness, who would have thought that you can't get the flu from the flu shot?
This is...
Are we ready?
The Catch Up
with
Josiah and Ellie.